Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. I want to tell you, it's been a rough few months in Colombia. And I want to say a huge thank you to you for all of your prayers and your encouragement and the messages we've received and just everything that's helped strengthen us through this time. You know, I don't want this to be the main part of my presentation today. But what I do want to say is that God has spoke to us in the most incredible ways. And He showed us what to say and when to say it. He showed us when to be quiet and listen. He showed us when to move and when to stand still. When to wait and when to act. And you know, I believe with all of my heart, and I have always believed, that God speaks to us in very, very clear ways. And when this problem that we've gone through started in June and a particular person made all these awful accusations against us, we started to get messages from around the globe, from different countries, from the US, from here in England, people in Northern Ireland, different people that we've met over many years who started to say, "We're praying for you. We're here for you. We believe in you. Keep walking forward. God will bring you through to a great victory." And you know, we started to think about why? Why are we going through this here in this country, which isn't our own, but a country which we love with all of our heart, as if it were our own? Fighting for their children and fighting for their children to be able to get ahead in life. You know, and we began to realize we're taking lives and we're transforming them and we're teaching them about God's incredible saving message. And those children, as they grow up, are going out into the world with God's presence in their lives and in their hearts. And you know the enemy doesn't like that. But God's a great and glorious God. And He's bigger, He's more powerful. And in these messages, people started sending us Bible verses. And you wouldn't believe the messages we got from different parts of the globe that all had this same message in it. People who don't know each other. People who've never talked to each other before. People who come from different continents. And they were all sending us the same Bible verses. It was incredible. And God spoke to us so clearly. I'm going to read those messages. I'm going to read those verses this morning. You can't doubt that God's talking to you when the same verses, the exact same verses, come from many different places around this globe. Isaiah 41. Verse 9. I took you from the ends of the earth, and its farthest corners I called you. I said, "You are my servant. I have chosen you, and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppress you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" Those most incredible verses came to us from every part of this globe. And I'm going to tell you today, God spoke so very clearly to us. We had a person who, or maybe a group of people, we're not 100% sure, who very sadly made some very false accusations against our organization, and the authorities came in and they interviewed over 180 times different ones of our children, looking to find the smallest thing that they could find to get a hold of to close our organization. And one of the directors of the social services, who I don't know and who won't even sit down to a meeting with us, called 4 times for our foundation to be closed with absolutely no evidence of anything. And the Lord protected us and he held us up and he brought us through. And you know what was the incredible strength through that time? It was our kids. They came into our offices. We were working so hard for everything that we were required to show and to prove and reports and this and that and the other. And every day our kids would come to find Janine and I. And they would say, "We're here with you. We're with you. We believe in you. Keep going." Praying for us and encouraging us along the way and telling us how much they loved us. And it was our kids that God used to bring us through this. It was the most incredible thing. It was hard to understand why in a nation that we've loved and served so much, we were under such attack. But we realized the enemy doesn't want us to transform lives. And he doesn't want us to teach all those children about him. And he doesn't want our kids going out. We have now 30 in our evangelism team who are going out teaching people all over Colombia about Jesus' saving message. And no matter how they tried, they couldn't find anything that they needed to close our home. And bit by bit, all of the people who came to investigate us realized that actually Children's Vision was a superb place that cares and loves for children. And the same government people that came to investigate us were the ones who stood up for us against the higher authorities and said, "This is a superb place." And God's name was glorified over and over again. And that's all I'm going to say on that little problem that we went through. You know, it's been the most amazing thing because we've been through all this. And yet, what I'm going to tell you today is for the very first time in the history of our foundation, we passed the 200 mark. We're now helping 203 children we have in our foundation now. And what the enemy meant for bad, God turned to good. And our foundation has grown. Our faith has grown. And I believe that we'll come out of this stronger than we've ever been. And God's name will be glorified through it. Now today I want to tell you that you're a carrier of the presence of God. So look at the person at your side and say, "You're a carrier of God's presence." When you receive Christ into your life, the old is gone. The new is here. God gives us a new life, a new heart, a new being, a new belief in him. Concreted on him. And that transformation, bit by bit, every area of our lives changes as we give our heart over to him in every area of our life. And you know that's the most incredible privilege. Today I want to read a verse out of the first chapter of John, if you'd like to look that up. The first chapter of John. And we're going to go to verse 10. This verse has been very pertinent in these months too. John 1 verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." The world rejected him. And I believe that because our children are in Colombia glorifying God's name, the world said, the enemy said, "I want this." Because these children are transforming people's lives for Jesus. And I don't want this. And the world rejected Jesus when he was here too. It goes on, it says in verse 11, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And when you have that right, it's because you have his presence transforming your heart and your life and living within you. And that opens up to us the whole world of God's promises. His care, his love, his forgiveness, his protection. And boy, have we seen his protection. His guidance. And when we give our heart to that, when we follow that, then God's name is glorified in so many different ways. Now today, I want to look at an example of someone from the Old Testament who was most definitely a follower of God. It's my favorite book, I think, in the whole of the Old Testament. It's the book of Daniel. So if you'd like to look up the book of Daniel, we're going to go to the first chapter. Now, the whole focus of my message today is that you're a carrier of the presence of God. And when you're a carrier of the presence of God, we need to live that out in our lives. What I'm going to show you today is how God controlled all the circumstances to take Daniel to a place where he was going to be an influence in a place that knew nothing about God. And the message that I want to give to you today is that maybe God has you in a place where you're thinking, "What am I doing here? Why am I in this place? Why do I have so many people around me who aren't believers? So many people who are in the world? So many people who don't believe in God?" But you know, that's the place that God has for you. Why? Because you're a carrier of his presence in that place. And so if you're in a place like that today, I want to encourage you and say, God has you there for a reason. So that you will be the light in the darkness for him. Let's read the first bit of Daniel, Daniel 1. "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God." Now, you know, the first thing we're thinking is, this is the city of the Lord. Why would it fall into the hands of a king that comes from a city that has nothing to do with God? Wouldn't have God been there to protect it, to help it, to strengthen it, to bring it through? But the city didn't. The city fell. Now, you know, sometimes we could look at things like that and say, this is really bad. Why, Lord, did you allow that? But God had a purpose in allowing that, because he needed to get Daniel into a place where Daniel was an influence, where he was the light in the darkness in Babylonia, in a different place. God had a purpose in it. So the first thing that I want to say today is, we've already learned through this, the verse that we read in John, that it's a privilege to carry the presence of God in our lives. We're privileged to be called children of God. The second thing that I want to show you today has to do with this message in Daniel. Let's read a little bit further on. It says in verse 3, "Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court of officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians." Now imagine the place where these people were brought into. They were going to be trained up for a place of influence. Trained up to be a light in the darkness. Trained up to be God's people in a place where there isn't God's presence. These people were going to be allowed to be in that place. But they were people who knew God, who loved God, who followed God. And I'm sure the king didn't think, "Oh, I'm going to pick them because they love God and put them in this place." No. It gave us there, in that list, all the reasons why they were picked. It didn't say anything about them loving God or following God. They were going to be trained for a particular job. But God wanted them to be trained for that job because he had a different job for them. To be a light in the darkness. And when God's put you in a particular place, it's because he needs you there. He wants you there. And you're to be a light for him in that darkness. So don't ever think, "Lord, why did you put me here?" And in everything that we've gone through in the last few months, we've been able to see that God has shined his light. Of this is a Christian organization that loves me, that serves me, and that glorifies me in the middle of a whole group of people that probably didn't know anything about God. And his name has been glorified. Now I want to read a little bit further on in verse 6. Verse 6 says this: "Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego." And these people, out of all of the people who were there, these people were going to be chosen to go into the highest place of influence. Let's read a little bit on in verse 17. God gave them gifts, spiritual gifts, that they would use in the place that he was taking them to. The Babylonians thought they were training them, but they weren't. God was training them. And God was giving them everything they needed for that place that he was taking them to. It says in verse 17, "To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding." The Babylonians didn't. God gave knowledge and understanding. God gave it to them. When you're in a place that God's called you to, God's going to give you what you need to be his light in that place of darkness. And what he's calling you to is to shine out in that place. God gave them understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, or the time for training, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He found none equal to them. And I pray, and my prayer for you is that when God takes you to a place where you're a light in the darkness, that none will be found equal to you, because you are a carrier of God's mighty presence in your life. Amen? Verse 20. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And my prayer for you is that when you're in that place, and when you're questioned, and when you're challenged, you're going to be found to be 10 times better than anybody else in that place, because the living God has transformed your life. And when those inspectors came to our home, they found our home to be better. Better in care, better in nutrition, but better in love. Better in teaching God's word. They couldn't deny the good that they found in our foundation. And God's name was glorified. And when you are used and you're found to be 10 times better, God's name is going to be glorified through you. You know, there was one particular day I remember. Alejandro, one of our boys. And Alejandro is, he's just finishing high school. Loves God with all of his heart. He goes out on our evangelism teams all over Colombia. He plays the guitar. And he came into my office, and it was one particular day that I was really, just very tired. I was very demotivated. It was a really difficult day. And he came and he put his head around the door and he said, "Dad, you okay?" And I looked at him and I said, "Yeah, I'm doing fine, you know." And he said, "I don't think you are." And he came by my side and he started to pray for me, and he prayed his heart out. And that young man, along with many of our children who have been saved from homelessness, from living under bridges and in cardboard boxes, the children that are going out and being used by God and being light in the dark places and are praising Him and they're dancing to glorify His name and they're teaching His word. This year we have more invitations than any other year to travel with our evangelism team to so many places throughout Colombia. In fact, there were so many invitations that we had to start taking a list for next year. And maybe that's what the enemy wanted to stop, but he couldn't, because our God was mightier, greater, and stronger than him. Now, I want to finish off this story in Daniel. So the first thing was, it's a privilege to carry God's presence. The second thing was, don't worry when God takes you to a dark place. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. And He will bring you through. And His name will be glorified through you, carrier of the presence of God. The final thing that I want to talk about today was this. When Daniel had been picked, then he got into a situation where he was asked to interpret a dream. not only to interpret the dream, but to say what the dream was. Firstly, he had to say what the dream was, and then he had to give the interpretation. Because the king had had these worrying dreams. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that. But you remember, that was one of the gifts God gave to Daniel? And Daniel's light shone, God's light shone through Daniel in that moment. But I want you to see what the outcome was. And that's in Daniel 2, verse 10. Daniel 2, verse 10. The astrologers answered, because the king called all these astrologers and other people to interpret this dream. The astrologers answered the king, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing, or any magician, or enchanter, or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men." You know what? That's not true. Because when you've received Christ in your heart, God lives in your life. He controls your life. He governs your life. He fills your life with all of His mighty power. Let's just go a little bit further ahead to verse 40. Daniel was able to do what nobody else could do because God empowered him to do it. And in verse 40 it says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering, an incense, be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, 'Surely your God is the God of gods.'" The king who called enchanters and all kinds of magicians now had to admit that Daniel's God was the God of gods, the only God, the mighty and incredible God, our God. "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. When you go through that hard time, and when you believe in God with all of your heart, and when you're a light in the darkness, God's going to use you in mighty and powerful ways. And He's going to use you to be His influence in the place that knows nothing about God. So if you're in that place today, I want to say to you, answer God's call. Tie yourself to Him. Believe in Him. And He will use you in mighty ways. Now I'm just going to show you a couple of chapters out of the DVD. But I really, so much on my heart to share that message with you today. Okay. Can I just show, we're going to show chapter 2, please. Sorry, I know I'm changing things on you a little bit. You'll know that we've been getting our new house ready. I want to report back to you today that that new house is ready. And it's ready to go. And it's full of beds. And full of mattresses. It has a brand new kitchen. It's fully painted and decorated and beautiful curtains. And that new house truly is a house for princesses. And there was the day that the authorities came to our foundation. And they were there that particular day, the whole day, looking at folders and talking to kids and all kinds of things. And I felt like the Lord put it on my heart. And we weren't in that house, we were in a different house. And I said to them, you know, do you want to come and see our new house? We have a new house that's ready for children. And the minute we can get the license for it, we'll be filling it with children. Because we've been told until we have the license for that house, we can't fill it with children yet. And I took the people from the government down there. And they walked into that house. And they stood there. And their jaws dropped open. Because that house is absolutely beautiful. They said, wow. And I don't know what it is, but I get such a feeling of the presence of God when I walk into that place. And people from all over the UK and the US and Colombia have come to help do the work there. And as the people from the government walked through this house, it's truly a house for princesses. It's beautiful. And they started to say, this is amazing. And as I looked around, and after talking to them about some of the cases and some of the children that we'd helped, God began to touch their hearts. And the same government inspectors that came to inspect us, the tears started to roll down their face. You know, I believe with all my heart that there's a reason why God allowed us to go through this time. And although it was very difficult, His light shone brightly. And now every government office that I go into for a meeting, people go, children's vision's here, children's vision's here, children's vision's here. And our name that was all over the government offices because of some lies of some people. Now when we walk into a place, people sit up and they take notice and they listen. And they treat us with love and care and respect. And God's name has been glorified. So please be praying for that for us. Be praying that we can now finish out the license process, which I hope within the next 6 weeks to 2 months will be done. And please be asking God that we can fill that house with many more beautiful children. And to save their lives. I'm just going to finish off with one story today. A while ago, my wife Janine, she said, you know, we haven't had twins for a while. And we've had several sets of twins. And you know, our children think that we just go out one day and come back with a new baby. They think that's how babies arrive. Well, our youngest kids anyway. And this one particular day, we went up on the mountain to do a mountain mission in a place called Alpis, at the south of Bogota. In fact, Pastor Paul, you've been to a place similar to that when you were out with us. It's a place we haven't helped before, but it's been on our heart to help. And we got there and we started to, you know, give out the donations. And there was probably about 300 or 400 people in line. And this mom came through. And she had a set of twins, newly born, fairly newly born. And she said, I can't manage to support them, to help them. I can't do it. She said, can you help me? And because of that mountain mission on that day, we now have a set of twins in our nursery. And you know, Janine looked at me and she said, I told you I was praying for twins. So I just like to finish off with that today. Please come over to the display. Take a copy of the DVDs. I'd like to say a massive thank you to everybody who's supporting us, supporting the team as they're coming out. And thank you for letting me share today. But more than anything, thank you for your prayers through this really hard time. They've been the most valuable thing. And Christine has kept writing to me on emails, haven't you, Christine, you know, telling me, this person said this, and this person said that, and this verse and that encouragement. It's been the most incredible thing. Thank you very much for believing in us and for standing by our side. So I'd like to finish in prayer, if that would be okay. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the example of Daniel. I want to thank you, Lord, for that man who was called for a particular time and a particular moment, Father. And Lord, I want to thank you today that like Daniel, but even greater, more important, more powerful, was Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you called him. You brought him, you used him for a particular purpose. Father, that all of us who believe in him would have the right to be called children of God. And Father, I thank you that through that presence in our lives, you're transforming lives, you're changing futures, you're giving a hope. And people are living out the plan, Father, that they have in you. Your power lived out in them. And Father, I don't want to say that we want to go through difficult times all the time and every time. But Lord, it's easy to praise you and to glorify you in the good times. But it's when the hard times come, Father. When the challenges come. When the people come and say, you can't do that. Things that people have been specifically called to. And the enemy tries to put up every challenge. But enemy, we say to you today, we are the children of the living God. We have the presence of the living God in our hearts. We have His power, His grace, His mercy, His goodness, His forgiveness. An enemy, although there may be times when times are difficult, and when the serpent bites our heel, we are going to stamp on your head, because our great God will bring us to the victory. So, Father, I thank you for those hard times. I thank you for when you take us to dark places. And, Father, I thank you that we can be your light shining out in the darkness. Father, I pray for people who are in those places right now. And Father, I ask that you would strengthen them supernaturally. I ask, Father, that you would give them all the giftings that they need. The knowledge and the wisdom. And to know when to act and when to be still and when to listen and when to talk. Father, I pray for anybody who's in that situation right now, and ask you would minister to their heart. Father, thank you, Jesus. Empower them to be a light in that darkness, Father. And not to question why they're in that moment, but Father, to live that moment for you. So, Father, I thank you for your goodness today. and I glorify your name. And I thank you for this church. I see you bless them in great and mighty ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.